My name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not about a religious system. This is about a relationship with God through His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I love to exalt His name and spread His fame. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Africa, in one particular tribe called the Bible, the Jesus book. And the reason is because missionaries had taught them what this book is all about. They say, open it just about anywhere, and you will find Jesus. Can you say amen? You find rock with water coming out of it. The New Testament says they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's back there. He's in the book. There's a fourth man in the fire. Can you say amen? Didn't say there was no angel in that fire. Said there's a man in that fire. And he's shining. Praise God. Brighter than the flames of that fire. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's back there. Amen. He was there at creation. Let us create man in our image. New Testament said there was nothing made that he did not make. Glory to God. I and my Father are one, and we work in tandem in total concert. Praise God. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In every book, you'll find him. Praise the Lord. He's in the Song of Solomon. Why in the world would God inspire a mushy, sensual love note and put it in the Bible? Because Paul said in the New Testament, I'll show you a mystery when I'm talking about a man's love for a woman. He said, I'm not just talking about marriage and intimacy and commitment and devotion. He said, I'm talking about Christ and His church. Can you say amen? And that opens up the Song of Solomon to a love story between, amen, our Savior and the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, praise God, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy. And if God is purging you, you know how he does it, don't you? Through his word, through the washing, the cleansing of the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. So sometimes the word is meant to edify us and lift us up. Sometimes the word is meant to just wash us off and clean us up. Everybody say, wash us off and clean us up. Praise God. Is that all right with you? Let the word do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Go ahead and just do this. This is all about what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In this last day, the enemies of the cross are everywhere, saying, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way. But yea, you know the way. For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because you have come to know my Father through me, saith the Lord, you are sealed until the day of redemption. The Lord knows them that are his, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this room. Praise in this room. Religion has never saved anybody. There was a religious system in place when Christ came. And today, and some night, we're just going to have to start teaching more and more on what is wrong out there biblically, because there's a lot of wrong things out there. And we just got to have some back-to-back teaching on it, because there's a lot of people that I used to look up to and respect that I just can't anymore. I can't endorse them anymore. You don't bid someone teaching something other than what was delivered God's speed. To do it, I would partake of their sin. That means I might as well to preach it myself, and I refuse to preach it. And if I can't preach it, I can't endorse anybody that is preaching it. You say, well, I like that gal or that guy. Well, I'm sorry, this is not a personality contest. This is not an election. This is not who we like best. This is who is telling us the truth. Amen. And the Bible said we're living in a day that would be marked by great deception. Except those days be shortened, the very elect could be deceived. I mean, we'd all be destroyed by the tribulation. But in the last days, the Bible said the Spirit speaks expressly that some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The faith is something that has to be fought for and defended if we're going to pass it in its original form to the next generation. So the Bible said before the first generation of Christians had passed, I suppose that you have need that I write unto you that you earnestly contend. Everybody say, put up a real fight. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's what Jesus was talking about when he said, and when I return to the earth, shall I find faith? This is not that word for believing God for your needs to be met. This is the word pistis, and it means fidelity. It means, are you faithful to the truth, that body of truth, the faith that was once delivered? Paul said, if an angel brings another message, let him be anathema. That's the strongest word for a curse from God. Because a message that will damn a soul, God says, that message I have the strongest consternation against and judgment against. Amen. Amen? Amen? And Satan would rather have people have a false security than to have true salvation. We can't join the world church movement that's forming in the name of love and unity, because there is no unity outside of Christ. We gather around the throne. We gather around His throne. We gather around His cross. Amen? You take that out of it, there's no salvation in any other. That's what Jesus taught. You say, well, Jesus wasn't tolerant. No, He's not going to tell you it's okay to take a road that leads to hell.
No, He isn't.
He'll never endorse that. He'll never say it's fine. Let's just all get together and love one another. No, let's love everybody, but let's all get together around error and untruth and enemies of the cross. What is an enemy of the cross? People say you can go to heaven without His sacrifice on the cross. And the Bible said, no, whether you Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter. Amen. His blood has sanctified the mercy seat in heaven. And everything in the Bible that led up to His cross was a type and foreshadow of the cross itself. Amen. You know, you want bitter water to get sweet, you got to put a stick of wood in it. What's a stick of wood? A stick of wood represents that wood that He would hang on. It was a type and foreshadow. Can you say, man, take the poison of sin out of our soul and give us living water? Can you say, man? You want an axe head to swim? You ain't got to throw a stick of wood in that water. Come on, you can't just command it to swim. This is a result. Everything was based on His cross to come. Can you say, man, and His sacrifice to come? You got to put wood in that water. Then it comes to the top. The cross is there, praise God. Hallelujah. You want your sin forgiven in the old covenant? Take a lamb down there without spot and blemish. Let them cut its throat and sprinkle its blood. Amen. Then your sin can be forgiven. That's a type and foreshadow of Jesus. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. That's not universalism. You still have to trust Him. But the world, the price for the world's salvation has been paid in full at Calvary. Praise God. And the only reason people wouldn't come to Him is a proud, hardened heart. But anyone who will open their heart would come to Christ to be saved. Amen. Why wouldn't anybody want to receive the one into their life that has died on the cross and suffered such terrible horrors of death? He died as a man forsaken of God, but He died in our place, took our punishment, and He's in every book in the Bible. Praise God. Let's let that roll. Amen. Are you glad you came today? We're right in the middle of exalting Jesus here today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a praise again today. Hallelujah. I tell you, let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. God just wants praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. You want to worship Him? You want to worship Him right now? Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Let's stand up and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe He just wants us to worship this morning. Hallelujah. How we praise you, Lord. How we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Listen carefully.
Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
And whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There is strength and there is power in His name. We want to teach you a beautiful song this morning.
Jesus.
Pray that it will bless you and encourage you
Jesus.
As we exalt the name that is above every name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do right now. Churches all over America. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to bless us with His presence and power like never before. Hallelujah.
The lost are saved. Find their way at the sound
Jesus.
Of your great name.
Jesus.
All condemned.
Hallelujah.
Feel
Hallelujah.
No shame at the sound of your great name.
Let's just give Him praise in
every fear.
Hallelujah.
Has no place.
Jesus.
Of your great name,
Jesus.
The enemy,
he has
to leave
Jesus.
At the sound of your great name.
God is moving.
Jesus
is
worthy
coming
is the
back to be the centerpiece of the church. Hallelujah.
Son of God and
Hallelujah.
Land.
Peace.
Let's give him another clap offering of praise here today. Glory to God. There's healing in this house. There's deliverance in this house. There's salvation in this house. Why? Because the name of Jesus is exalted here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the name of Jesus is going to be exalted here. Hallelujah. Yeshua. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Father, we praise you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me read to you quickly a few verses from Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Listen. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you say amen today? Amen. This is the word of God. Everybody say this. Is the word of God today. Amen. I always get people looking at me strange when we speak the word authoritatively. I'm not interested in the books you've been reading. I'm not interested in the tapes you've been listening to. I'm not interested in your perspective of what you think the Bible is saying. I'm only interested in what God has said in his word. Can you say amen? When souls, and whether they spend eternity in heaven or in hell, there's only two places. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no second chance. Amen, brother. We can't miss this. We can't make concessions on this. We cannot compromise on this. There is one God, one mediator between God and man. There is one faith, one Lord, one baptism. One church. Everybody claims to be it, but ultimately there's only one church that God recognizes. In fact, there's neither Jew nor Greek in this church. It's not a Jewish religious system. It's not a Gentile religious system. God has broken down through Christ the middle wall, a partition, and has made us one. And the Bible said a Jew now is not recognized because of a heritage out of Israel, but a spiritual heritage in Christ. You're not a Jew because you were circumcised the eighth day. You're a Jew because you've been born again and become the seed of Abraham through the new birth. Galatians, the book of Galatians says, they that are of the household of faith, that's you and me, are Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. Can you say amen? God has broken down the middle wall of partition and made us one. There was a middle wall of partition, and it wasn't meat to give the children's bread to dogs. Jesus said it. There's a wall here. You're not part of the covenant. She said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. And he said, woman, great is your faith. Go your way. Your daughter is healed from this. You're actually delivered from being vexed by the devil. Well, that wall of partition, it's down. Hallelujah. The Bible said he hath broken down the middle wall of partition and he's made us one. At the foot of the cross, there's neither Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, rich nor poor, male nor female. We are one in Jesus Christ. Amen. We who everybody and anybody know, those, oh, John saw them coming out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Who are these people coming into God's kingdom, walking through the gates into the New Jerusalem? Who are these people with these gleaming, spotless white robes on? Amen. The answer is very clear in Revelation. These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One saving element, the blood of Jesus Christ. One saving name, the name of Jesus Christ. One great church of redeemed people, the church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. We can't affiliate with those that say there's another way to God. It's to sell out Jesus. It's to tell people, you can get to heaven by believing this or believing that instead of believing on Christ. Why did he call people thieves and robbers that tried to come another way? Because he hung on the cross. It was his blood that was shed. Without the shedding of blood, what did God say? See, all of this, the only reason the Old Testament sacrificial system worked was God looked past it to the cross. He did it because he knew one day Jesus would come and die upon that cross. Otherwise, there's no relevance. There's no saving power in the blood of an ox. No saving power in the blood of a physical lamb. But when the Lamb of God came, there was saving power. Can you say, man, and all of this was a type and foreshadow. If Jesus wasn't going to come, hang on that cross and shed his blood, there would have been no Old Testament sacrificial system at all. Because otherwise you could be saved under the sacrificial system. And Jesus says, no, you can't. You can't. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. One lamb that would be the last lamb. Tens of thousands of lambs were sacrificed. I've come to appreciate the Christmas story better. People want to split hairs and not see the great truths sometimes. They'd rather argue than exalt. And my arguments are all about who needs to be exalted, and that's Jesus. Praise God. But they argue Christmas. I love Christmas. Amen. Doug celebrates Christmas. Praise God. Amen. Tampa Electric loves Doug for celebrating Christmas. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But we celebrate, but we celebrate differently than the world. We know what it's all about. Our celebration is different. So the big argument is, Jesus couldn't have been born in December because lambs were not in fields. The shepherds were not in fields with flocks in the dead of winter. That's probably true. It could have been July, could have been August. But I'm going to tell you some sheep that were in the fields. The sacrificial lambs that had been brought to be sacrificed. And they were particular shepherds that watched over those lambs. And they were called temple shepherds because their job was to make sure that all of these lambs were cared for so that they could be brought up to the temple and offered. And in those fields, see, God didn't just choose shepherds per se, but temple shepherds keeping the sacrificial lambs to be offered. And he came to them and told them about the last lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The significance of that was these lambs were going to be offered as a sacrifice. Tell those shepherds, amen, that the Savior has come. That there won't have to be any more of these temple lambs offered. The last lamb is born. When he is offered, amen, that will be it. The temple shepherds, you'll be out of a job. They weren't, because man went ahead and practiced his religious system. Can you say amen? But Jesus said, nothing you offer in that respect has any value anymore, because the only reason this had any value to begin with is because it looked forward to the cross where Jesus would offer himself as the Lamb of God. It shook them to the core of their being when John saw Jesus coming and didn't say, behold, the Emmanuel, God in flesh, behold. No. This is what really gripped them. When he saw him coming to be baptized, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And you've got to understand, Old and New Testament is written in sacrificial language. They knew a Lamb of God was that Lamb designated, set apart, set aside to be offered in the temple. Its only purpose was not for its wool or for its meat. Its only purpose was its death and its blood to be shed. It was born to be sacrificed. So it was, and when they separated that lamb from the flock, amen, it was set aside for that purpose. And usually they kept it super safe, and it became a pet to the family. Before it was offered in the temple, it had become a pet. The kids treated it like a little dog, a little sweet pet. And one day dad comes and picks up that little lamb and takes it up to be offered. Temple shepherds, when they brought all these lambs in and marked them as their own, they brought them in to be offered. They watched over them until the time of sacrifice. And the sacrificial system didn't stop when the cold weather comes. So it could have been December, it could have been November, it could have been June or July. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God sent Jesus to take our place on the cross and become our sacrifice lamb. Amen. But it mattered to God. That's why he came to shepherds, temple shepherds, lambs. Why? Because this little baby was born the Lamb of God. Can you say amen? He was born to be set aside for one purpose. And that's why when the three kings, you say, Brother Bumble, it ain't Christmas. There you go again. Can you say amen? It doesn't matter. Christmas shouldn't have stopped. It's Christmas just like Resurrection Sunday. It's an ongoing thing. Yes, praise God. When the three kings brought their gifts, they brought gold. Gold is that's for a king. Here's this baby in a manger, and they're bringing him gold for a gift. That's a gift that you give kings. When the Queen of the South came to King Solomon, what did she bring? Camels laden with gold. Amen? So they brought him gold because he was born king of the universe, not just king of the Jews. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. His kingship went far beyond the Jewish community. He's king of the universe. He's king of kings and lord of lords. It's written on his thigh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They brought him frankincense. A wonderful gift of worship. Something that had that wonderful fragrance. The Bible said his very death on the cross was a sweet-smelling savor to God. Amen. But they brought him a gift that didn't fit his princely, kingly character. They brought myrrh. The third king, or magi, wise man, he came and he brought myrrh. And when his mama saw myrrh, she knew this is what you put on a body when you prepare it for burial. He was born to go to the cross and die for us. That mama knew right then, with all the sweet and the glory, there's a bitter part of this. The bitter part is, this child of mine somehow is going to die before I die. And they brought me that, because they gave the gift for him. Can you say amen? It was all for him. And she knew right then, there's more to this than just this beautiful star, these wonderful events, this miraculous birth. There's a bitter part to this story. And the bitter part is that he would go to the cross and take our place. He would humble himself and become obedient even to the death of the cross. Can you say amen? Even to the death of the cross. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy will be done. I want to put this verse of scripture in context. Verse 5 said of Philippians chapter 2. Listen to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, wants you to underline this in your mind. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. The Bible said, as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. It's a good thing he humbled himself. Can you say amen? Because if he had not humbled himself, it's a good thing he didn't open his mouth. Because the Bible said never a man spake like this man. He told Peter, he said, put up your sword. I don't need your puny sword to defend me. Can you say amen? He said, I could call right now the armies of heaven. Amen. You know what Jesus is called? He's called the captain of the Lord's host. He's called the Lord of hosts in the old covenant. The Lord of hosts. That means the commander and chief of heaven's armies. Everybody say the commander-in-chief of heaven's armies. He's returning on a white horse, and what's following him? This greater, what is it? Amen. What's following him? The armies? Amen. Yeah, and we make up that army this time, not angels. He's amen, because if we suffer with him, like we're doing right now under the persecution and the conflicts between the world and the flesh, and we're suffering the persecution for standing up for Christ. I get hard looks from Christians on Sunday morning just for preaching Jesus, because we're so biblically confused. Like there's a spirit of confusion in the church, and we don't know what to believe. We like this person. We love that person. We go with this person. We need to get into the Word and meet Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I said we need to meet Jesus somewhere along the line. I met Jesus Christ. I didn't just espouse a belief system, even if it's correct. I met somebody when I got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. I said I met a person. Whoa! I'll never get over it. It's been all these years and I haven't got over it. At 12 years old, I went to an altar and I met a man. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the woman at the well said. I met a person out here. I didn't just get theologically convinced of a religious truth. I met a person. Come and see a man. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Maybe you just joined a church and got baptized, but I met a man. One guy was reading the Bible. He read it for years. He said, one day I was reading the Bible. He said, I didn't really understand it. But he said, one day I was reading the Bible and a man stood up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A man stood up. When he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will testify of me. Can you say amen? He won't speak of himself. Beware of any ministry that puts more emphasis on the Holy Ghost than they do Jesus Christ. Because when he, the Holy Ghost, comes, he's the Spirit of truth. And he will guide you into what? All truth. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He'll talk about me. He'll tell you about me. We used to sing the song, Tell Me More About Jesus, More of His Mercy, More of His Grace, More of His Love My Soul Can Trace. Tell me more. Tell me more. Got into the book of Revelation. I announced at the old Holy Church of God, I'm going to be teaching on the book of Revelation. Well, everybody wanted to know who the Antichrist was. So they were real disappointed when I started teaching about who Jesus Christ was. Woman and her daughter drove for some distance to come to that Sunday evening teaching on the book of Revelation. Well, the book of Revelation begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ given to St. John. it's a word that we don't associate with something so wonderful, because it's the word in the Greek, apocalypto. Apocalypto. Apocalypse. Apocalypse, we think of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And when there's earthquakes that devastate, it's an apocalyptic event. Can you say, man, it's something out of, like the things that are going to happen globally in the book of Revelation. But apocalypse is a beautiful word, because it means to unveil something that was previously hidden. Can you say, man? You know, the Bible said this gospel is hidden to the world until the eyes spiritually are open. It's a mystery that they can't get, but that mystery's been given to the church. Praise God. And this is the revelation of who? It's a revelation to John of Jesus Christ. He said, I heard a voice behind me, and it sounded like many waters flowing, like Niagara Falls, powerful. And I turned to see this voice that spake unto me. He didn't see the Jesus that rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey. He saw Jesus raised from the dead and glorified. He saw him as God instead of just a man of God or a prophet of God. And his hair was as wool. His eyes were as a flame of fire. He had a garment down to the foot. He had on a golden girdle. And he said, I am he who is dead and yet I live. I am the one that they killed, but yet I live. I'm dead, but yet I live. And I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end and everything in between. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I am he that was dead and yet I live. I'm Alpha and Omega. Author and finisher of your faith. I have the keys of death. I have the keys to the grave. I have conquered it in your behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, if you're looking for that Jesus, you're looking for the wrong Jesus. He's not going to come back on no donkey to give himself up to let men do what they will to him. He did that already. And that's why God highly exalted him, because he humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant and made of himself no reputation. And God said, you know something? I'm going to give him the reputation. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? He didn't come here to make a reputation. He came here to die on the cross for you and for me. Isn't that incredible? That God would condescend. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? Because he did that, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name that is named, of things in heaven and things in earth and things in beneath the earth, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord. He is King to the glory of God the Father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. Jesus is in this place of honor and praise. Isaiah 53, very quickly as we get ready to close. Who hath believed our report? This is the gospel in the Old Testament. The gospel in the Old Covenant. There's a man dying on a cross here in the Old Covenant. There's a man who humbles himself to die that death for our salvation, who deserves to be exalted to the highest place. That's why you should be a disciple of Jesus Christ instead of just a churchgoer. That's why the name of Jesus should still excite you. Can you say amen? I remember when I first started going with Pamela, to not even associate with that, but just to show you. I mean, I like to see her name on a piece of paper. Pamela Parker plus Robert Venable. RV plus PP. Wow. My teenage heart. Will you be my Valentine? Love. His, yes. We've been almost 49 coming up. Yeah, she said, He my Valentine. He know he my Valentine. I don't need to tell him he's my Valentine. Of course, on Valentine's Day, she needs to be told that she's my Valentine. Father's Day and Mother's Day, they're not exactly alike, are they, Daddy? No, we do. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. Just seeing that name, the name of the one that I love. See, today we're looking for some revelation. We want to, they were disappointed. I started talking about Jesus, the apocalypse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and seeing him like you've never seen him before. John said his hair is like wool. He's the judge of the universe. God has committed all judgment to the Son. Can you say, man, people can't imagine that Jesus is going to judge the people that have rejected him, but he is. Can you? Oh, by the way, when he comes, everybody ain't just fall down and worship him. Bible said when he comes and all the world sees him in that second coming, not the secret coming, that they're going to mourn because of him. They're not going to clap their hands and rejoice. They're going to know that the one they rejected, the one they rebelled against, the one they blasphemed, the one they refused, amen, is now coming, and they have to deal with him. And the Bible said when he gets here, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's not because everybody's going to love him and serve him. It's because you can't stand up against him, because God has made him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm among those that have bowed my knee already, bowed my heart already. Amen. Listen to me. In this church, we do not allow for false teaching. In this church, we do not give concessions to those, amen, who are Christian, to the Christian community, and something else to somebody else. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We don't listen to Ophrah here, and we don't listen to preachers that believe like that here. And in the name of unity, we do not tear down walls. They're walls that need to be strengthened. The walls that need to be torn down are the walls that separate us because of denomination. But there are theological truths that need to be strengthened. That was the whole issue of the New Testament. That's why they put them in the Roman Colosseum. That's why they turned wild beasts loose on them. Because they would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why there was the Inquisition, and people were tortured to death. That's why they were burned at the stake, Christians. We can't sell out what the blood of Jesus and the blood of the martyrs has brought to us. And that's the truth as it is written in the Word of God. We can't twist it. Be careful of the new translations of Scripture that are trying to be politically correct and socially relevant and not telling you the whole truth, because there's places that they need to be hard on that they're soft on. Amen. Compare everything to the King James Version. Praise God. Why, Brother Venable? Because if we keep burying, after a while we're going to get a Bible with a worldview. We're going to get a Bible that softens these things that would bring us the persecution. No, let the persecution come. When you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Can you say amen? Servant is not greater than his Lord. The reason we don't see people healed like we used to, one of the reasons, because we don't exalt the name of Jesus. We exalt the name of the evangelist with the gift. Prayer of faith saves the sick, but only one raises them up. And the prayer of faith has to be prayed in a name. There be any sick among you, let them call the elders of your church. Let them anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. No, let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Why? So when that prayer is over, somebody gets the glory that's going to do the job. The only one. Can you say, man, it's in the name of who that we pray for people over? In the name of Benny Hinn, or Henny Penn, as my aunt used to say. If you had any kind of cold or anything, said you need to go get prayed for by Henny Penn. I said, Aunt Bernice, it's Benny Hinn. Oh, yeah, that's right, Henny Penn. Amen. She was convinced Listen, this is not a Benny Hinn thing. This is not an Oral Roberts thing. This is a Jesus thing. Can you say amen? Come on. There's gifts of healing, but there's one name. In my name, you shall lay hands on the sick. In whose name? In his name. And when people begin to exalt the name of the preacher, or the preacher begins to exalt himself, you see the healing ministry begin to crumble. The glory leaves. Can you say amen? The healing power starts waning. Why didn't these great revivalists stay great to the end? Because people put them on a pedestal. And there's only one that God wants. And he don't want him on a pedestal. He wants him on the throne of your life. And his name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Name above all names. Hallelujah. The mighty God, and these be his royal titles. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the wonderful Counselor, and the Prince of Peace. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No wonder they said, don't preach. There's a man at the gate, beautiful, he's healed. He's healed. He goes into the temple running, leaping, praising God. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. I have the gift of healing. Sow a seed to my ministry. No. Such as I have, give I thee. Taking him by the hand, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They quizzed him. The disciples, the Sanhedrin, called them and said, by what authority did you heal this man? Say, remember by the authority of my faith, by the authority of my words, I speak words and they happen. I have gifts. No, he said, remember the man that you put on the cross? His name was Jesus. And still is. You put him in a tomb. Amen. But this man whom God hath raised from the dead, listen, through faith in his name, this man stands before you whole today. Through faith in that preacher and his anointing. No, through faith in his name. This man stands before you whole. Wow. No wonder they told him, don't preach. The next thing they said they would have killed him on the spot. But they feared the people. Because they could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought. What is a notable miracle? Everybody knew this guy was lame. Come on, if you say you got healed of a back problem, nobody knew you had a back problem, then they can say, psychosomatic. But this guy had never walked, lame from his mama's womb. Amen. And everybody's seen him sitting there for years begging. And suddenly he's running and leaping and praising God. Healed. Listen, God did a double miracle if you think about it. If he just gave him the ability to walk, he'd never walked in his life. Did you know if they put you in traction and keep you up there in a hospital for about 3 months, they're going to have to put you in a whirlpool and give you therapy because your muscles will atrophy. Can you say, and the muscles in his leg never developed because he never had walked. God developed them in the name of Jesus, just like that. Healed him, developed those muscles, and so he could run and leap. That's a notable miracle. And he went into the temple running, leaping, and praising God. And you think the religious community would rejoice that there's some power and presence back in the church. No! By what authority did you heal him? Organized religion becomes a tool of the enemy many times. And I'm not against every organized denomination, but I'm going to tell you, you don't see many demons cast out anymore, many people healed anymore. You see the big church and the big steeple, and open the door and there's a bunch of people. Can you say amen? But you don't see the power and presence of God. I want more out of church. When I pray, I need answers. I need God to show up. Amen. I need to know how to get an answer. Philip went down to Samaria and preached faith to them. No. Philip went down to Samaria and preached prosperity to them. No. Philip went down to Samaria and preached healing to them. No. That was not the message that brought the healing and the power and the salvation. Philip went down into Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And what did God do when his son was exalted? He saved the lost. He healed the sick. He delivered the captive. Can you say amen? They went everywhere preaching the gospel, the Lord working with them, confirming what word? Anything we decide is most appropriate? No. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. With signs following. So the early church, and now under this threat of death, they said they would have killed them and they threatened their lives. Said, don't preach or teach again in this name. Had lunch with my wife and I. Actually, I don't know if she remembers, but we had lunch with a lady. She was from a persuasion that didn't put Jesus in the right place and religiously. She said, well, you know, after all, it's just a matter of semantics. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not just a different way of doing things leading to the same end. One God, one mediator between God and man. That's why they put them in the arena. That's why they burned them at the stake. That's why Jesus gave his life. That's why God sent him to be the Lamb of God. We need to lift him in our life to that place of prominence, that place of preeminence. We need to bow to no other. Amen. We need to get that Joshua attitude. If Baal be God, serve him. But if the Lord be God, serve him. But he drew that line. We draw it here all the time. Choose you this day who you will serve. And a lot of people take off out of here and they don't want to come back here. We're being paid compliments all the time like this. One young lady says, I don't like to come to your church because every time I come I'm convicted. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank God that there's still conviction in the church of Jesus Christ. Thank God you can't sit here, a sinner, and be comfortable. If you are, you're a tough egg. Can you say, man, that's all I got to say. Because the Holy Ghost is the hound of heaven, and he ain't going to let you be comfortable if you're not right with God. Can you say, man? Why? Because we're teaching on hell all the time. No, because we exalted Jesus all the time. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus isn't in the peripheral here. Jesus is in the forefront. Praise God. He has center stage. He's under the spotlight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't preach or teach in this name anymore. They went back to their group of people. They're under the threat of death. Acts chapter 4 said, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that we may speak thy word with boldness. He said, you know, everything that happened that looked like Jesus was a victim, this was in their prayer. He wasn't a victim at all. He came to go to that cross. He said, there was Herod. There was Pontius Pilate. All these people looked like they were in control of him. Said they wasn't in control of all. Said you had appointed it aforetime. Can you say, man? It was all in your plan and purpose. He wasn't a martyr for the cause. He was a sacrificed lamb. He offered himself a sacrifice. Hallelujah. And he said, Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. And he said, here's what we need from you, Lord. We need the boldness to speak your word. And we need you to confirm your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. Primary confirming sign of the gospel is healing. That you stretch forth your hand to heal. Say it with me, to heal. And that signs and wonders be wrought in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And the Bible said when they prayed like that, the place wherein they were gathered was shaken. And they spoke the word of God with boldness and with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And I would love to be standing at the tomb that they believe Jesus might have been entombed in. That would be a sacred place to be. But that is not. That tomb being empty in and of itself did not convince anybody in that first generation. The guards lied and said that by night his followers came, overpowered us, and took his body and hid it somewhere. Amen. That was the lie that was told. It's a very believable lie to so many people. Can you say amen? But when things begin to happen, when that name was proclaimed, That lie was dispelled. By what authority did you do this? Remember the man called Jesus you put on the tree? The man that died and was buried, whom God hath raised from the dead. Can you say amen? Through his name, this man has his perfect soundness in the sight of you all. Amen. What designates Christianity from every other world religion? Jesus is raised from the dead. And when his name is proclaimed, God confirms that truth. This is not magic. This is symbolic of the anointing that's present to confirm the word of God when the name of Jesus is exalted. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Halabakosondarabara. The prayer of faith will save the sick. If they've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven them. And the Lord will raise them up. That's what I'm looking for. That's the only reason I'm here today. I was in a church where the name of Jesus was exalted, where God confirmed his word. Somebody said when the last apostle died, we had no more miracles. Last apostle. That's it. Forget it. Don't pray for healing. Don't pray for help. By the way, don't pray for the building fund to be met. If you're asking God to supernaturally intervene to meet that need, you're asking for a miracle to be performed, whether it's in the body or in a building. But they don't hesitate to ask God for the help to finish that new building. Amen?
Amen.
Miracle. Everybody say it. Miracle.
Amen.
Webster's Dictionary. Simplest form. There are other longer definitions. Let's get the simple one. So all we need is the simple one. A supernatural. Say it with me. A supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. Don't ever ask for prayer if you don't believe in miracles. For God to answer that prayer, he's going to have to supernaturally intervene in the normal course, even if it's to get your transmission fixed. If God gets involved, and you better hope he does. Amen. Amen. If he just leads you to the right honest mechanic, he has supernaturally intervened in the normal course of human affairs. Wow. I believe God wants to show up and show out. I believe he wants to distinguish himself from the man-made gods and from the gods who are no gods. Amen. I believe he wants to let Ophir know there's one name. Praise God. I believe he wants to let Buddha know there's one name. I believe he wants to let Allah know that that's not his name. That's why God gave us the name of Jesus, to distinguish the true and living God from the gods who are no gods. Hallelujah. It gets real narrow. Real straight is the way. Narrow is the gate. And you know what straight means? It doesn't mean that line in the scripture. It doesn't mean a straight line. The narrow gate means you've got to keep on a straight line to get there. But straight, have you ever heard of dire straits? Is it about straight lines or about back pressure? Pressure being brought to bear. Straight is the gate. In other words, you're on the King's Highway. You're on an uphill grade. You're an upstream Christian in a downstream world. And Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind to prove this, I press. Say it with me. I press. Come on. I press toward the mark. Amen. Why? Because straight is the way. The winds of this world are against you. Doesn't matter. God is for you. Hallelujah. I press. Hallelujah. And reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Paul said, you've got to press into the kingdom. Kingdom of God suffers violence. The violence take it by force. You have to press into this thing because the enemy is going to push against you coming into it. But you just push on, praise God. He can't stop you because God is for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Through much tribulation, pressure, we enter the kingdom of God. If you just slid into this thing and it was a piece of cake, you better check your kingdoms out. Make sure you're in the right kingdom, because through much tribulation you enter the kingdom of God. If the devil don't fight back, you're headed for the wrong kingdom. It may act like it and seem like it, but you get in this kingdom of light, darkness is going to oppose it. But it ain't going to stop you, because God is going to meet you. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is going to help you into it with His power. Wow. Well, I preached myself out of many pulpits. Their churches don't want me to talk like this, because it might offend somebody that's helping them build their success symbol. And that success symbol is stone and steeple and stained glass. Can you say, man, our success symbol here is how many people come to know Jesus and are sealed by the Holy Spirit for eternity. Can you say, man, if we never build a big building here, we're building His kingdom right there to the nations of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I believe that a day is going to come we're going to need this property, because it's too much to mow if we don't need it. And our mow man said, see, this is not the mow of Larry and Curly fame. This is the guy that mows for us. Praise God. And I'll tell you, even on a riding mower, this is an acre, 1.57, and it ain't easy to mow, because there's weeds out in there, and there's all kinds, and there's sun, there's bugs, and there's poison oak. And I pray for him. Listen carefully. We close with this. Let me just read verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He's taken from prison, from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and shall see his seed, and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide unto him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he's poured out his soul. He humbled himself, see, unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Therefore, I will appoint him a portion with the great, and divide him a portion with the strong. In other words, I'll give him a name that's above every name that is named. Hallelujah. Of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name, every knee would bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what we've come to do. In this building, this room today, will you stand with me? God is so good. Thank you for staying a little late today. Amen. Which means nothing. How can you be late on the Lord's day? Can you say amen? Late for what? What are you late for on the Lord's day? Since it is the Lord's day. Since it's a day when the Christian church created a Sabbath so that we could be distinguished from the world about us. Thank God it's a Sabbath day instead of circumcision. And all the men said, amen. And all the men said it louder, amen. 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 Thank God it's a Sabbath day. Day of rest. The church is so concerned about the rest of your day. They want to herd you in and herd you out. We call it church. God don't show up, but the church is so organized, it doesn't matter. You read the bulletin and stay home. You know the song is going to be sung, the word that's going to be preached. I don't even know what I'm going to preach till I start preaching. Amen. I got an outline here. Amen. It just helps me. I'm supposed to study. Sometimes I go by it. God bless me. Sometimes he just takes me in another direction. Go to a men's day and preach on sin. It's incredible. I'm supposed to preach on something else. And I found out I got to flow in the Holy Ghost. Because if I don't flow in the Holy Ghost, we're not going to hear from God. We're just going to hear a sermon from the Bible. But this is a church. The people that are here today, God has something to say to you. And if you haven't met the Master, you need to meet him. And if you're playing with other religions, you need to stop it. Because your God has designated a Savior. Can you say, amen, you need to stop it. If you're reading other books that don't line up with this book, you need to lay it down. I don't care how much you paid for it, you need to lay it down. If you're watching somebody on TV that's compromising, you need to turn it off. Can you say amen? But Brother Venable, they're so close to God. Peter was so close to God that his shadow passing over the sick caused him to be healed. And Paul withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. Why? Because he started blending law and grace. He began to line up with Jewish leaders that, and this is nothing against the Jews, we're a friend of Israel. But the thing is, he began to line up with them when they said, you know, you can bring Jesus into this mix, but you still got to be circumcised. He said, no. Paul said, you can't blend this. It's law or it's grace. You can't blend it. Man's tradition can't save. There's no saving. Now, listen, that veil was rent for a reason. Because all of these practices were null and void. The blood of Jesus, the last lamb was offered. You're sanctified through the word. Washed through the water of the word. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Let's get it right. Because souls are in the balance. Praise God. Amen. How many people want truth in your heart? How many people want to make sure you go to heaven when you die? Amen. Then there's things you need to turn off. And the Bible said you're to prove all things and only hold fast that is good. Can you say amen? How do you test it? You've got to get in here. You've got to know this man. You've got to know this word. Hallelujah. Amen. And if an angel come with another gospel, kick him out. Anathema. And Paul said, if we change our mind. Isn't that incredible? The safeguards in here. If you get a letter from us, the one that sent you the first letter, some years later you get another letter and we've changed our stand, tell us what you told that angel. Don't even listen to us no more. That's in your Bible. If Brother Venable preaches something else, quit listening to me. Listen to God. It's the final authority. I'm so glad I got a roadmap. Hallelujah. In this mixed up, crazy religious world we're living in, it's good to have a map. My wife got a cell phone that'll tell me where to go. Not that way. I mean, it is so neat. I was going to your family's birthday party for your grandma. I don't know where in the world in Winter Haven she lives. Amen. All the way back these roads back. You can give me an address. I don't know that. But you can program it in the cell phone. And all you got to do is follow instructions to get there. They're very clear. Amen. Get in the left lane. And turn right. Yeah. Get in the left lane. I don't know this person. I don't know this person. But this person knows the way. Can you say amen? Get in the left lane. In 500 feet, prepare to turn left. So I get over in the left. I've never been there. This person knows where it is. I don't know where it is. This person knows where it is. I have to get in the left lane and prepare to turn left. I get in the left lane, put my blinker on, and I come to an intersection. There's a road. I'm glad I'm in the left lane because, boy, there's a lot of cars in these other lanes. I'm glad I'm in the left lane, which is the right lane if you want to get where you want to go. Amen? Hallelujah. That's when the left lane becomes the right lane because you can't get there without getting in the left lane. And I take my turn, and all I had to do was just listen and follow. And I'm telling you, that navigator took me right to the doorstep. I mean, right to the address and said, "You have arrived at your destination." And I put on the brakes and unbuckled my belt and got ready to go in and have some birthday food and fellowship. This right here is a navigator system. Don't turn here. Don't go there. Okay. All right. It's straight. Oh, the way that you're taking me, it's got resistance. I would have took this way. This is an easier route here. No, no, no. You can't get there going that way. You got to go this way. Oh, this is where the bumpy road is. This is where the winds are blowing. That's right. Press on. Hallelujah. You can't. No, don't go back. Praise you. Remember Lot's wife. Praise God. Don't you? No, there ain't no going back. So if you're going forward, follow the navigator. Hallelujah. Amen. One of these days, woo, glory to God. One of these days, I'm going to hear him say, "You have arrived at your destination." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift up our hands and give him praise in this room. Yes, praise the Lord. Let's give him praise as we get ready to go home. This Lord's Day. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take a... Listen, it hasn't filled this church what I'm preaching, but I believe a day is coming in America when people are going to quit listening to phony baloney. Amen. They're going to want truth. Amen. And I believe when they do, they're going to seek out people with like mind. Amen. That are standing for the truth and declaring the truth. If you can't handle truth, this isn't the church for you. Be glad you're not part of it. Amen. There's plenty of them out there that will get you in, herd you out, won't upset you, won't say anything to capsize your little Christian craft. Amen. But I'm telling you, we want to rock the boat, my brother. Why? Because the devil's going to wreck it if we don't. Amen. The devil's going to wreck it if we don't rock it in pulpits in America. And I believe we need to stand up and call sin, sin. Amen. And call black, black, and white, white. And I'm not talking racial. I'm talking about darkness and light. Praise God. We're involved in kingdoms that are in conflict. And I'm going to lift up Jesus. And I'm going to teach you exactly what he said. Amen. Without apology. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm not running for election. Have you noticed? You never have. Here we are. 38 years in ministry, you never got to vote. Well, Brother Venable, I don't know why I don't get to vote. Because God sent me here. You have no say in that. Can you say, "Man, I'm sorry"? You know how you vote? Don't come. That's your vote. Amen? That's your vote. But that's the only vote you'll ever have. Because God said, "Go to Tampa," and I didn't come here looking for somebody to let me. I came here to obey God. Amen? We wouldn't have been at 10th and Sitka all those years. Not in that community if God hadn't sent us and been with us the whole time. See, you're used to a democracy. This is a theocracy. The church is different. Amen. Oh, I'm looking at people now. Oh, yeah, I get it in the neck every time I say this. You don't get to vote here. Brother Bimble, I give here. You don't buy me. You couldn't hire me if you were a billionaire because I wouldn't do this for riches. I didn't ask to come to Tampa. I didn't ask you if you would allow me to come to your city. Can you say, "Man, God sent me"? Praise God. Amen. That's why you hear it different here. That's why I look you in the eye and I don't tremble because you don't hire me. Can you say, "Man, you couldn't hire me"? Amen. No, no, no. God sent me. And that's why he confirms his word. And that's why people have been healed of cancer. That's why demons have come out. And that's why a lampstand is going to be returned. Can you say, "Man"? This is not politics here. This is God's business. Can you say amen? If God isn't with me, you stay away from me. But if God is with me, you let me alone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But let's don't play church anymore. I'm not a reed shaken in the wind. Well, we don't do it that way in our church. I got news for you. You're not in your church this morning. I said you're not in your church this morning. You're not in your church today. They get rid of pastors about every 3 years because they conflict with somebody sitting on the board. You're not in your church. You're in His church. It ain't even my church. It's His church. Oh, give Him a hand today. Glory be to God. Amen. And if you want a pattern, go to the early church. Don't go to the one down the street or your denomination. Go to the early church. We're not following that pattern now. We don't see the miracles. As long as we can hold some kind of office, we don't seem to care that the sick are not healed, the lost are not saved, the backsliders are not convicted. We care here. If we lose this, we lose everything. But there's an anointing here. We can't afford to lose this. Amen. I'll take all of your hard looks in order to maintain that. You wouldn't be here. This congregation, if you don't know it, these folks here that visit us, this congregation wouldn't be here if I didn't preach like this. Because there's too many other churches to get better programs than we have. They're here because they know I'm going to tell the truth on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? They know I care about their soul, not their pocketbook. They know that we've been persecuted and suffered so that we can be here. It's cost us to be here, but it's worth the price. To see that man come back to Jesus. That man get sealed with the Holy Ghost. That man get healed in his body. That man get delivered and set free. To see this woman delivered from cancer of the throat. Delivered from sin. Hallelujah. Amen. And set free and baptized in water. To see that little girl that was here last week with her daughters. Set free by the power of God from drugs. Worth it. It's worth it. Let's just lift our hands one more time and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. One day you may need a healing. You're in a church that says this day is for God. Amen. Not your agenda. Not your time frame. This day is for God. You've been brought in and you've been herded out and you went home with the same need you came to church with over and over again. And you love it that way because it fits into your busy schedule. Well, this isn't your day. This is God's day. Can you figure that out? This is not your day. This is God's day. This is God's house. This is God's word. This is the day when Christians say, I've come to worship my God. You say, Brother Bimba, I was going to the movie this afternoon. This ain't the day for the movie. That was last night. This is God's day. This is God's day. You better reset your watch, honey. This is God's day. Don't look at your watch on God's day. Not on God's day. Don't play church anymore on God's day. The church is weak and anemic and powerless. And we're sick and defeated. Because we give Him 1 hour of our valuable time on His day. And we criticize anybody that asks us to stay any longer in His word and His presence. So I would suggest you take that hard look and look heavenward and quit looking at me. Can you say amen? Take that hard look and look up. I'm not going to change because of hard looks on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. This thing is winding up. This little church will close the door before I'll change this message. And this ministry. God is all I have. I don't have resources. I don't have backing. accept the Spirit of God. Amen. The great miracles that I've seen have happened in this kind of afterglow. It never happens in the cut and dry, herd them in, herd them out, make it convenient gospel. It has never happened. When you came to the Holy Church of God years ago, you heard this message. This message has not changed. God is still worth the time that we invest, the money that we give, the devotion that we offer. Can you say amen? Will you join hands? We're going to close today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This has been a tremendous time. Amen. For the church of Jesus Christ. Our hour is at hand. Pray la ba kosiri andaraba. Nendaraba roshalaba kitia. Meshalaba kitia andaraba. Nekalaba hosandarababi. Everything that can be shaken right now, mark it down, is going to be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken might remain. Mokolobo hosandarabaritihi. Mokolobo hosalabari tatarabasataya. Mekalaba sitiani. Helaba koshia, mendadabaro shalabariandadabakota, mekalaba sitia, the day of empty altars is drawing to a close. Mekalaba sitiandadabaka, we can't sit back in our pride and arrogance and ask for healing and deliverance any longer. Mekalaba hasata, the day of doing our thing on his day. It's coming to a swift close. Mekalabasiti andarabakitiada. Makalabahosalabadiya. Mekalabasadabadaba. Nendarabaroshalabadite. Keshalabadiandarabakure. Andarabakositi andarabakia. Mulabaroshalabaditi andarabako. Shalabain. Dadarabakosala. Meshala. No time to seek God. No time to seek God. No energy to seek God. That day is coming to a close with the needs that we have are so desperate. No time and no energy to seek God. And pastors that pet that, lock us in to defeat. Putting band-aids on hemorrhages. Meshalabakiti, rubbing salve on cancers. Mokolobo, that need to be destroyed. Mababa hasanda da bakitara. Nenda da baroshalabadite. Keshalababa. Nanda da babianda da bokosalabadite. Mekalabasidianda da bakota. Amen. Anointed with oil that just leaves you breezy. Instead of healed. Makashalabareyamba baba sata. God is bigger than that, and God is better than that. Mekalabasiti andarabakole, salabariti andarabokosile, mekalabasiti andarabariti andarabakole, matarabasitiya, molabaroshalabarianda, keshalabariandaraba, mekolobohositiya, ekarababahasata. Father, I praise you today. Stretch forth your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. I don't want to preach a dead gospel to dead Christians anymore. Mokalabasitia. I can't take watching the death and destruction any longer. Makalabahosiliandarabosa. You know what I'm talking about, sir. You wouldn't be here. Pray shalabariandarabokosala. Nendarabosalaba. Netarabara. Stretch your hand this way. Now we're going to pray that we're going to have a fruitful year in God. Amen. Pray shalabokosilia. I walk and talk, and I talk to Jesus about every one of you. And I get to some folks, and when I get to your name, and I bring you by name before the Lord every week, when I get to you, I have to stop. I have to stop sometimes. And I say, Lord, I can't just pray in my wisdom. Amen. Because we're just throwing these prayers out. But Lord, I pray for hearts, not just bodies. I pray for hearts, not just circumstances. I pray for hearts to become hungry. Amen. For God again. I pray for hearts to become humble before God again. I pray for Christians that have been in church for years to be challenged and to be changed and to quit going through the motions. I pray for spiritual lukewarmness to turn into fervent fire for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why do you pray that way? Because I want to see you healed. I want to see His name exalted. I want to see you delivered. I want to see the devil defeated. I want to see, hear the sounds of victory again from the house of the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to hear the sounds of joy again from the house of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray shalabaroshe. And the Lord has told me to not hold anything back. Hallelujah. 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 Because He really wants to move. He really wants to move. So I've got to boldly speak His word. If you're a backslider, come home. Hallelujah. If you're a Sabbath breaker, quit it. Amen. If you have no time to seek God, don't expect nothing from Him. Why? Because you got to fit Him neatly in to your day. Honey, this is not your day. It's time we take it back from the world and back from the movie house and back from the mall and back from the banqueting table and give it back to God. The early church designated a day and they said, this ain't for us and this ain't for the world. This is for Him. Him whom our soul loves. It wasn't the Old Testament law. It was the New Testament devotion and pattern. Never be a revival. Never be a revival while we're watching our watches. It'll never happen in any church and it'll never happen in America. But there will be a revival where people abandon themselves to the Lord. Father, Lord, our only hope of being able to be relevant with our size is that the Holy Spirit take what's here and He send it. And Father, You've begun to do that to the nations of the world. Father, I want to be a voice to nations. And I don't want them to pattern after the average status quo American church. I want them to follow Jesus with everything they are and everything that they have. And Father, I thank You for people that You have sent here that will share that vision and stand with me to accomplish that great task. Father, I praise You for every one of them. And I praise You for their investment in this ministry. And Father, I thank You most of all for Your investment in all of us. Hallelujah. You got something for us to accomplish and You're preparing us for it. And this has been one more day of that great preparation. Hallelujah. We thank You for it. Everybody that's glad Jesus is exalted today said amen and amen. All over the world. Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand. Hug their neck. And tell them, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it before you go home today.